Oh, no, he thinks like normal people.
It is time for Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Jim, of course, joins us every week at this time. He's an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, bringing over 40 years of experience with those subjects and more. And I ask of you, Jim Lynch, if your name appeared on that lawyer's list with the two other names, would your wife be looking for an explanation last night?
Well, firstly, adding my two cents as the abnormal part of the trio, I would not be going home to my wife. I would be calling and meeting with immediately the best attorney I could find to deal with this mess.
That's right.
And then I would call my wife and say, "Hey, I have representation."
And instead, he got to go on the air. And because all of this is vetted, Marshall's favorite word, by lawyers anyway, like all of the drivel that you hear, or not drivel, everything that you hear on TV is vetted by lawyers.
No, I'm kidding, but
so
I just think it's funny. We're talking real estate.
Well, speaking of real estate, and Mar-a-Lago this week, we have two people who run countries, pretty big countries, who are playing golf, one from Japan and one from the U.S., and they have a great similarity in common in that they have both been using real estate illicitly in making money. That would be Donald Trump, 4 to 6 bankruptcy fame, and Abe of Japan, who apparently took over some real estate. Nobody else knew it, and he and his family are prospering. So all is not lost. We still have plenty of thieves to go.
But more to the point, at least you've mentioned, thank you for that, that there are two world leaders meeting who, for better or for worse, are still principals in certain decisions that are being made vis-a-vis, remember North Korea? Remember China? I'm really glad that that's on somebody's radar.
Yes. And I totally concur with the principle that you just said. Major leaders, particularly in situations such as North Korea, should be allying with one another to come out with the best situation for the world. However, it's unfortunate that Abe has been asked to stand down in Japan. In other words, retire from leading the government. And that might happen as soon as June. So he can, I'm certain, add information, but whether he'll be around with the muscle is questionable. The other chap seems to be very involved in lots of different things, too many to mention in an hour show, let alone a half-hour show, a 22-minute show. In any event, the minutes are just ticking away. In any event, it does underscore, though, the problem we have in Asia at the moment with the North Korean situation, which apparently behind the scenes we in this country are doing some kind of preliminary work, but also the situation with China. And it's something that I don't think the media, newscasters, really weren't able to cover much because of all of these other things going on. There's only so many minutes of air or television time. And that is the demonstration of naval power by the Chinese in the straits between China and Taiwan. Now, this is very important because China is a bit miffed at Taiwan for suddenly deciding they're going to capitalize on Donald Trump's era in basically saying, "Oh, I support Taiwan and to become possibly independent, more independent of China," when indeed China is the superpower. And you don't go tweaking noses. You don't get anywhere. In other words, negotiating something, you don't pinch the person's nose, smack them in the mouth, and then decide you're going to work something out. I think the situation in the straits over there between Taiwan and China should be watched very carefully, because that route, that sea route between those two countries, is a tremendous waterway for the exportation and importation of goods in the area. And if we continue in this country to just irrationally throw out comments on Chinese trade and lately on Chinese currency, we could find ourselves having a little mini blockade, which would not result in military action, but would result in the slowing of economic action. We are living in, as we have heard, and if we don't realize it now, we will probably never realize it, in rather dangerous times on the world stage. We have somebody leading our country who either feigns being irrational for some kind of strategy or is irrational, but his behavior is irrational. To basically say, after we attack Syria because of the chemical weapons action they took against their own citizens, and the same Syria aided and abetted by the Russians, the president decides on Sunday he's going to increase taxes, not taxes, tariffs on the Russians. Not tariffs, I beg pardon.
Sanctions.
The thing is, Nikki Haley, his representative at the UN, he convinced her, so she told the world, we're going to do that. And then on Monday, he said he's not going to do it. And then on Monday afternoon, he said, oh, I'm reconsidering them. This is not the sign of a world leader, let alone a leader of anything. And I offer that as a danger to us economically, financially, and a lot of different ways.
And at the same time, you should also offer the thing that's all over the British papers about cyber hacks, allegedly, because it was jointly announced U.S. and U.K. And Marshall, I'm sure, will be a better explainer of what it entails vis-a-vis routers, et cetera. But,
well, I don't know if anybody's noticed recently, but the entire world and all the leaders in the world are having problems with their public, except for, well, even a little bit in Germany and England.
Germany is terrible, and UK is Brexit. I mean,
Russia's the only one that's not, and here's why.
It's the czar.
Well, it's not bizarre. It is
the czar.
Yeah. Yeah, it's this computer world we live in, and the availability and what goes on with it, Jim. No one really has talked about this on national news, but you got to tie it all together. This all goes back to the Arab Spring. And I said when the Arab Spring happened with the release of all those documents from WikiLeaks, I said, you know, this is not going to hurt the U.S. at first. It's going to hurt the Mideast first, because everybody's going to find out that everybody's been cooperating with Israel except for Iran and one other.
Right. And basically what has evolved, just looking at the big picture and drawing the line.
Now it's spread. It's spread like a virus, and it's covered just every government.
And what is, you know, quite interesting is along the way, it's pretty clear that Israel and it's pretty clear that the various, let's just say, emirates in the Middle East have decided that there is less to fear from Israel than there is to fear from Persia.
Yeah, but that came out. But this whole
but
virus.
It's like you've got to look at the big.
But the whole virus of spreading information and information coming
and
out about governments.
And misinformation and propaganda and it's just
is now spread to just about every country in the world.
And now what is sad is that there's no possible way unless you are interested. And again, it's like a football game where you've got no blocker. Somebody's got to weed this stuff out.
Well, yeah, what's your opinion on that, Jim?
The Internet. The Internet now makes all of the information throughout the world that is put out available anytime somebody wants to get on the screen. And people in all of the countries we're talking about are inundated with so much news, much of it negative, some of it false, but much of it negative. And it's like a virus in the sense that the internet is spreading the negativity. Now, I'm not disputing that we shouldn't have, we shouldn't be getting information on what's going on wherever we want to get it, as long as it's truthful. But I'm afraid that the human psyche, getting a little esoteric here, can only handle so much. And I think at the seat of some of this discontent are people who see in the United States people getting gunned down, in France people get run down, in Africa women are taken as slaves, and that's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of this negativity which is going around the world. And so I was going to begin the show this way, and I'm going to go right now, but I don't know. I myself am inundated with all this news. The thing is, as human beings with brains and bodies, we have got to devise ways to protect ourselves from allowing ourselves to be saturated or overcome with negativity, and put in ways that are not productive for ourselves. And some time ago, I think I mentioned on the show, and I want to mention again, that if we could each day begin the day, probably would be the best way, in just remembering all of the good things that we have, be our kids or our job or whatever.
Our pets.
Our cats.
I said our pets.
Dogs,
but...
our birds. And our Red Hawks. If we could get into that expression of gratitude internally and focus on that as the baseline to get on with the day, excuse me, I think it should help.
Can I just interrupt? Because I fully agree, but you see, what we need to train a generation to do, and I say this as someone who's past the sell-by date, is that, flipping on the TV or jumping into the computer first thing without looking around and noticing your environment and the creatures or the people or the, everything that you just mentioned is unhealthy. And it would be, it's something that is correctable, and it would set, it can act as a reset button for the day, each day.
Well, and you're absolutely right. This requires some discipline, but not a lot of discipline. One way to get back on track, so to speak, is evaluate, gee, I am wasting too much time here, there, or somewhere else. Or, gee, I have a priority to do this on given days, and I'm not getting to it. And the way you can start is by tracking what you're doing. Get a notebook, or if you want to use a computer,
notebook.
Bobby?
I'm just advocating for a notebook, because the problem is everything is that same feeling of either the keyboard or the screen, touching, sliding. And so
right.
A notebook means that you've got a pen, and that means that you're creating a channel that's coming from your brain to your... It's just a different channel, and that's got to come back.
You're absolutely unequivocally correct. In fact, there's something called, it's not very original, free, F-R-E-E, form, F-O-R-M, writing. And it's an exercise whereby you get yourself a yellow pad, and you just begin, you get some quiet time off, away from anybody or anything, and just start writing down whatever comes to your mind, be it good, bad, different, et cetera, and just keep writing and writing and writing and writing. And then when you kind of get a little exhausted, say, okay, fine. Take the paper, tear it up, throw it away. You'll find that you will have an incredible lifting of consciousness in terms of you will get clearer in terms of the way you're looking at things. Doesn't matter what you put down on the paper. And don't go in a way that you're prepared to write something. Just write it. It's free form. Get rid of the paper and go on with your day. The other thing I mentioned, doing it at another time, would be pencil to paper with creating what your priorities are, tracking them, seeing how much time you put into them. What I do with that, I do it intensely for a week. I'd set my intention to do it intentionally for a week, drop it for 3-4 days, come back to it again for a solid week, then observe what you did over the next couple of weeks, and then maybe come back to it or whatever. But in the process, using your word, Jill, which I think is a perfect word, reset. You should be able to reset, because we all waste so much time. Because we're such a free country, we can do a lot of different things, and they're not all the most important things. Anyhow, that's my two cents.
And I just want to add...
We have about 3 minutes left.
I want to add one thing to your two cents, and that is, I'm sure you have noticed that lack of sleep has become an industry, the latest thing to fix.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. But we won't go into that here. But, you know, there is just nothing better than good sleep.
Absolutely, unequivocally. A good night's sleep and makes your day. No matter what happens the following day, you can handle it so in such greater style than you can when you haven't slept properly. And part of this is eating properly, eating regularly, exercising a little bit regularly. Nothing big deal. Just move the body, get the blood flowing a little. That's really, you know, the body is an incredible instrument that we've been given. And the blood flow and the air flow are key to energy. It's and exercise simply serves to get those things working more effectively and more efficiently. Weightlifting is not the answer. The answer is relax. Breathe and let the blood flow. Anyhow, in the hour we have left,
1 minute.
You know, I thought you were already napping.
One minute.
Yeah. 5 minutes, Mr. Whiteside.
You've got the 1 minute warning. 1 minute.
Okay, I gotta say it. I've avoided it for 4 weeks. The Mets.
They fell apart last night, but they're doing good.
Oh, but before they fell apart, they were doing well.
So that would give me my opening, because I didn't want to hit him while I was streaking.
That's right. You didn't want to be the thing that caused them to slip.
I was there before. It might have been me, because I was enjoying it before it slipped.
Anyhow, let's hope they keep up the good work. And Yankees, come on, let's go. Let's play ball. Okay, get out there with your kids. Hopefully the sun will get a little warmer and we'll be playing a little bit more ball outside. Take good care of yourselves. Think of yourselves as, I don't know, probably one of the greatest gifts, if you put it that way. You have a good one. Love your kids. Love yourself. See you. God bless you.
Take care, Jim. Jim Lynch, and cover your assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club.